May we help to commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn 182. Hymn 182. Tune Shadow Time 795. If ever it could come to pass that sheep of Christ might fall away, my fickle, feeble soul, alas, would fall 1,000 times a day. Were not thy love as firm as free, thou soon wouldst take it, Lord, from me. I on thy promises depend, at least I too depend desire, that thou wilt love me to the end, be with me in temptation's fire, wilt for me work, and in me too, and guide me right, and bring me through. Hymn 182, tune Shadow Time 795.
Thank you. We will read two portions from God's holy word. First, from the general epistle of James and chapter 5. The general epistle of James, chapter 5. Chapter 4. General epistle of James and chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou, that thou judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. or such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let us turn to Peter's first epistle and chapter 5. The first epistle of Peter and then chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Salvinus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his own holy word and teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious God, in thy goodness and mercy, thou hast favoured us once more to venture into thy courts. But solemnly we realise it is one less, and we are that much nearer eternity since we last stood here on thy day. And oh, we pray that we may be rightly burdened and concerned and exercised concerning our souls. As one of old said, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Our heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, we pray as we gather this evening, Lord, for the divine help and influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit. And oh, may he come and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Lord, how we need thy Holy Spirit's divine influence in the pulpit, in the desk and in the pew, and that there may be that done this evening to thy honour, to thy glory, and to the good and profit of our never dying souls. May a precious Jesus be made exceedingly precious to us, the one thing that is needful. May the world be shut out, Lord, and Satan kept from the doors of the sanctuary and from the doors of our hearts. And may we sweetly prove that it is no vain thing to serve the living God. Oh, do draw our hearts, our thoughts, our affections heavenward. We would pray with the spouse of old when she said, draw me, and we will run after me. Oh, may we know more and more of the sweet drawings of thy love, that thou wilt draw us to thy dear feet, draw us out of self to thyself. Thou wilt draw us, Lord, into those green pastures beside the still waters, and that our souls may be humbled in the dust. Oh, we seek more and more for that grace of humility, that we may be, as we have read, to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, that we may be exalted in due time. And O Lord, we come as sinners, we've nothing to bring in and of ourselves. One said, our best is stained and dyed with sin, our all is nothing worth. But oh, we would come in humble confession and humble repentance to thy dear feet, a begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, we would pray as the dear publican did, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, we pray thou would have mercy upon us, that thou would blot out our many, many sins, that thou wilt grant that sweet assurance from heaven, that thou hast put us away all our sins at Calvary, that thou hast cast them into the depths of the sea, and that we are among thy dear redeemed children, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And O Lord, may we be favoured to know more and more of the sweet peace of Calvary, that peace that flows from thy precious blood. And oh, that we may be melted, Lord, by thy love. We pray with the hymn writer, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. We mourn, Lord, because of the coldness and deadness and lifelessness of our hearts so often. And oh, we pray that we may be filled with thy love, that we may love thee in return. And O Lord, do go before us in the untrodden steps of life's journey. We pray thou wilt keep us continually. Lord, there's so much we need keeping from. Oh, do keep us from this bewitching world which has to death 10,000 hurled. And oh, do keep us from ourselves, Lord. Keep us from sinning. Keep us from grieving thee. And oh, do keep us at thy dear feet, that we may be truly humbled in the dust. And that we may be as nothing. A precious Jesus, the all and in all. And O Lord, do give us that grace to continue, to endure to the end, to hold on our way. We pray for those fresh supplies of grace. And O Lord, do speak to those that long to hear thy voice. Oh, the, how we need thee to speak continually. Show us what we have to do, and every hour our strength renew. And, O Lord, may it please thee to call many by thy grace, even in this town yet. There may be a filling of the empty seats, and throughout Zion with hungry souls, crying, give me Christ, or else I die. Do bring back prodigals, Lord. May there be those brought to return. For thou hast said, the ransom of the Lord shall return, and shall come to Zion. And they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. Lord, how we need thee to work, both in us and for us, and too in Zion, and in our families, Lord. We plead thy precious word, thou didst say, I will work, and who shall let it? And may there be those constrained to follow thee in thy sacred ordinances. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, that there may be those constrained even in this year to take up their cross and to show the world whom they love and whom they serve, and to follow thee. For thou hast said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And oh, we pray that there may be yet many made willing, filled with thy love, constrained, Lord, to venture while there's room. For thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. 'Twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly forced us in. Else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. Oh, we do beg, Lord, for thee to appear. Be with those that are in affliction's pathway. Many laid aside, Lord. We pray for healing and restoring mercies if it's thy will. Remember Beryl, Lord, in all her afflictions, and we pray that thou wilt grant her that restoring and healing, and do bless her in her soul, and sanctify all these afflictions, Lord, to each of thy dear afflicted people, and those that are nearing their journey's end. Oh, do come and visit them, Lord, and sweetly assure them that the eternal God is their refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. And do prepare us each, Lord, for that great day, when flesh and blood shall fail, and we shall launch in worlds unknown, and see thee on thy judgment throne. Oh, may we be ready, waiting for thy coming. We pray, dear Lord, for any that are full of fear, that thou wilt speak a fear not to them. Those in darkness, Lord, oh, do give them light and liberty. Those in bondage, do come and loose them, we pray, and set them free. And those that may need thee in some special way, oh, may faith be given to believe that those things that are impossible with me are possible with thee. And may each of thy dear children prove the wonders thou alone canst do. And Lord, do bless this corner of thy vineyard. We pray for thee to work here and help thy servants as they labour among them. May thy word go forth with power. And dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt mightily appear for Zion at large, and that there may be yet better days in the churches, a gracious building up if it's thy holy will. Do help thy dear servants, Lord, and bless their labours. Our dear brother with us, do help him in all his labours. May thy gospel through him and each of thy servants be crowned with success. Do bless our dear friend at the desk and help him in the burdens and weights that he carries, Lord, and bless the hymns that he gives out and help him in the reading services. And may thy word, whether it be read or preached, Lord, be clothed with power and have a blessed effect on those that hear it. Remember the dear children, those that gather on thy holy day. Preserve and keep them in these evil days. Raise them up, we pray, to be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. May they be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. To appear in the nation, Lord, hear the prayers that are put up for thy appearing. And put thy grace and fear in our leaders and rulers, and in our king and queen and the royal family. May they be brought to turn to thee, each one, and to seek unto thee for mercy, and to fear thy holy name. And I do appear for those in Ukraine and in other places, Lord, where wars rage, who put down all the enemies of the truth. We pray thou wilt liberate thy people. O Lord, especially bless those that are oppressed and have much to wade through. Do make bare thine arm and work. Now, O Lord, we would praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. We would not let them lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. O, help us to give thee all the glory, all the praise. Anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this evening. May thy word be applied with power, that that which is sown in weakness may be raised in power. Forgive what we've uttered amiss, all our many sins. Accept us in the Beloved. We ask it in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
May we be helped to continue our worship by singing together hymn 940. Hymn 940, tune sorely, 231. Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with Thee. The sense of Thy expiring love into my soul convey. Thyself bestow, for Thee alone, my all in all I pray. Loved of my God, for Him again with love intense I burn. Chosen of Thee, ere time began, I choose Thee in return. Hymn 940, to the tune sorely, 231.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful consideration, we return to James chapter 4 and the 7th verse. The general epistle of James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The general epistle of James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's very clear in God's holy word there are some most gracious exhortations that the Holy Spirit has left on record for the Lord's dear people. And we have two things set forth in our text. The first, submit yourselves therefore to God. And the second, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the Holy Spirit has wonderfully given the key to this in the verse previous. He says, but he, the Lord, giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, resist the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And for us to submit to the Lord, we need much grace, don't we? And it's a wonderful thing, the Lord does give his dear children grace to submit. We think of many, we think back to our unregenerate days, where all we wanted was the pleasures of this earth and the things of this world. We're creatures of the flesh, aren't we? But you think of Saul of Tarsus, how he hated the Lord Jesus, how he hated the Church of God. What was to bring him to submit to God? As our text says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Well, the Lord was pleased to bring him to the Damascus Road where he had to submit. And instead of serving Satan and serving himself and serving the world, he had to submit to the Lord. And under that wonderful submission, what was he enabled to say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that will not just be your cry from the very beginning. It'll be right the way through your life. You want to do the Lord's will. Do the things that are pleasing to him. And that's what the apostle did from that Damascus road. Not my will, but thine be done. That was his great concern. It's a wonderful word, this is submit, isn't it? We sung of it just now in that hymn, didn't we? In that closing verse. And I thought really that confirmed one's thoughts in this word, because he says, whate'er consists not with thy love, O teach me to resign. And oh, may we know more and more of the grace of submission. It's followed me about all day today, this is. Submit yourselves. And I want to look at it as helped in a few ways. But before I do, it seems to be with me, and I will name it. The Lord's a sovereign, how he brings his dear people to submit. You see, we've got an old rebellious nature that wants its own way and kicks against the Lord. But he knows exactly how to make his dear children submit. Oh, he does. Just as he did what I've said about the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He knew how to bring him to submit, speaking audibly from heaven to him. And what is with me is two things really on this point of submission. The Lord's a sovereign. Sometimes he uses severe means to bring his dear children to submit to his mind and to his will. On the other side, he can do it by immersing them in his love, so they fall right under in sweet submission to his mind and will. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Sometimes he brings us into paths of affliction to make us submit to his will. We plan we're going to do this and that and something else, and then he uses his hand of affliction upon the sinner and brings them right down so they're poor and helpless and can do nothing and have to submit to his will, resign to it. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. I remember when I first went in the ministry, and I used to go to Aldershot a few Sundays in the year. And the old deacon there in those days was a Mr. Turner. And that dear man, he was well over 80, and he had the Lord laid on him a deep affliction. And he had to go into hospital for a very major operation. And he said they took him into the hospital, and he said, I thought there was that in me that prior to going was rebellious. And he said, as he lay back in the bed, the nurses made his pillow up, and they laid him back in the bed with all his weakness. The Lord spoke to him, and he spoke these beautiful words, and the dear man was melted by it all. The Lord said to him, be still and know that I am God. He said, I could lay there right until the hour of the operation in sweet submission, being still. That's a wonderful place, you know. Submissive, you see. The Lord knew how to make him submissive. And the Lord so blessed him in that affliction and through the operation And the doctors, because of his great age and weakness, were absolutely amazed at his recovery. And just prior to going out of the hospital fully restored, the doctors, I think there was either three or four of them, went to his bedside and they said, "Mr. Turner, you're a miracle." He said, "It's not me is a miracle, it's what the Lord has done is the miracle." And he told them how the Lord spoke to him as he lay back in that bed when he arrived in the hospital. "Be still and know that I am God." And he said, "All I could do was leave it all in the Lord's hand, sweetly submissive." One said, "Let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine, but while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that I am God." When the Lord whispers such a word to his dear children, it brings sweet submission. Resign to his will. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. But sometimes he brings his dear children, like he did Job, into deep trouble of soul or of circumstance to make them submissive. You know, we've got an old nature that wants to do this and do that and something else, and we can plan this and plan that and something else. But you know, the Lord knows exactly how to deal with the sinner and make them submissive, to lie passive at his dear feet and know no will but his. After I'd been preaching a few years, the committee of the Gospel Standard Society wrote to me and asked me if I would submit my call by grace and call to the ministry to go on the Gospel Standard ministers list. You know, when I received the letter, I'll be very open and honest about it, I was rebellious. I said, "Lord, why do they want this? If my ministry doesn't prove it, what will?" That was my old nature. And I kicked against it. I thought, why should I write it? And, you know, I went to the house of God, and in this rebellious state, and I say it to my shame. And the servant of God preached from these words: "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." And you know, as he announced the text, the Lord so applied it, he knocked all that out of me. And I went home and I said, "Lord, I willingly do it for thy honour and glory." So I know a little bit about this. And, but I want to just look at it too from the other side. You know, the Lord can make his dear people submissive to follow him in his sacred ordinances. I think of a dear man many years ago, when some of the friends at the chapel where he attended ventured to follow the Lord in the ordinance of baptism. And after the service, this man said to them, "You've done something I'll never do." He was so rebellious about the commandments of the Lord and his ordinances. Well, you know, the day came where the Lord, as he sat in the pew in the house of God, not long afterwards, so came and blessed him that he was full of the love of Christ. He just flowed into his soul. And he had to humbly come and confess to the dear deacons of the church how rebellious he'd been about the commandments of the Lord, because the Lord had spoken to him prior to all this, but he kicked against it. And may we not be left to kick against the Lord's command. But you know, when the Lord filled him with the love of Christ, all he wanted to do was run. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Make me to walk in thy commands, for 'tis a delightful road. Nor let my feet or head or hands offend against my God. And oh, may the Lord favour Zion yet with those that are submissive, you say, because the love of Christ constrains. And that's what the apostle said, didn't he? For the love of Christ constraineth us. And you look at it in a natural way. First of all, if you really love a person, you'll be constrained to help them as much as you can, won't you? Love constrains, and that's what the apostle said when he went to the different churches, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It's a wonderful thing, that love of Christ, isn't it? And as the Lord favours his dear people, he'll use his love to constrain them and make them willing. When I baptised my wife and another lady in 1974 at Ashwell, I preached from those words in Psalm 110. They're beautiful words, you know. Thy people, the Lord speaking, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And he does make his dear people willing, doesn't he? The hymn writer said in that hymn 771, is it not? Thus make us willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. Submit yourselves. We need a lot of grace to submit, don't we, to when affliction comes, when trials come, when difficulties come, to submit to it. Resign to the Lord's will, to his mind, to his will. So he says here very clearly, submit yourselves. Don't look at somebody else and say, oh, well, that's for them. It says yourselves, therefore, unto God. And you look at the submission the Lord gave to dear Job. In all his trial, to bear the onslaughts of Satan, to walk through the fires that he had to walk through. Oh, that grace of submission. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. But just stepping back to the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house and his ways and his commandments. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see a soul submissive. And I listened to the testimonies of two dear souls at home last December. You know, it melted me how the Lord had brought them and made them submissive. So all they could do was obey his voice. And that's a wonderful place, you know, a sacred place. Sweet submission. But you may say, oh, but my pathway is difficult, my pathway is hard, and How can I speak in public prayer? How can I begin to speak to the Church of God? Well, poor soul, you submit to the Lord's will and be as obedient children. I remember preaching at Ashwell many years ago now from those words, be ye as obedient children. And I didn't know, but there were two there, you know, that were so exercised concerning following their Lord and Master in his sweet ordinances. And then when I announced the text, it went right home to them. And they had to be obedient. You know, those of us have children, there's nothing more that encourages us to see them obedient, isn't it? But think about how obedient are we to the Lord? Well, let me use an illustration or two. First of all, you think of the dear disciples, the fishermen. What did the Lord say to them? He didn't say a multitude of words, did he? He said two words to them. The same for Matthew at the receipt of custom. Follow me. And what do we read? And we read it particularly concerning Matthew. And we read this. The Lord said, follow me. And we read that he rose up and he left all and followed him. They were so obedient to what the Lord commanded them. Be ye as obedient children. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And you look how Matthew, at the receipt of custom, the Lord brought him away from it all, and those fishermen. So they had to venture to follow him. But then you think of Lydia and the Acts of the Apostles, how the Lord opened her heart to receive the word preached by the Apostle Paul, and then she had to attend unto those things that he had spoken concerning his ministry on the sacred step of following the Lord. Be ye as obedient children, or submit yourselves therefore to God. Resign to his will. We think of what the apostle wrote to the Hebrews, and it's a beautiful word, isn't it, really? When he said this, let, and that means don't do anything to hinder it, let your conversation be without covetousness. You know, there are many say, well, I haven't had this blessing, I haven't had that blessing. But what has he done for you? Has he not answered your prayers on many occasions? Hasn't he had mercy on you? And favoured you? And favoured you to feel and to know those sweet times of his sweet presence with you? What does it go on to say? Let your conversation be without covetousness, and then listen, be content, and be content with such things as ye have. He didn't say you've got to have a testimony to speak for an hour, did he? You know, some of the sweetest testimonies are often but few words. Is what the Lord has done for the poor sinner. And what he has done, poor soul, will stand when everything else fails. there's a blessed ring in it. You know, Mr. Everett used to say to me at Ponsard Road, he said, you know, the gospel has got a certain ring. And if a minister comes here and he hadn't got the right ring, he said, I send them home. He says, there's a blessed sound with the gospel, a ring with the gospel, and the poor soul with gracious discernment will discern that ring. It comes right where the sinner is, you see. And he said to me, the first time I went there to preach in 1967, the first Lord's Day in January, he came in the vestry and he should put his hands out. He said, it's nice to meet you, lad. He said, I hope the Lord will be with you and with us each. He said, there'll either be a relationship or else there won't. And many would have said, well, it was a hard thing to say to a young minister, but you know, I took it, I knew it was real. And when I saw him the day before he died, he said to me, I've never forgot that first time you came to Ponsard Road. He said, you got right into my heart, he said, and you've been there ever since. And you know, the dear man, the submission the Lord gave him, like when his wife was ill in hospital. He said, I felt so rebellious. She was lying there and the doctor said they didn't think she would recover. And he said, oh, the rebelliousness, he said, I felt in me. But he said, you know, I came out of the ward seeing her. And he said, Lord, I cannot bear the thought that thou art taking her home. And he walked round under the window of the hospital where she was in, the ward she was in. And he knelt down in the rose bed, he told me. He said, and I begged of the Lord, he said, that he would raise her up. And he give me sweet submission to whatever his will was, but that he would raise her up if it was his will. And he said, I had the sweet persuasion as I prayed in that rose bed, the Lord would do it. And he said, I asked the Lord to give me a confirmation that when I went back in the ward to see her, she would smile. And she hadn't smiled for weeks. He said, I went back in venturing upon the Lord, submissive to his will. He said, I walked in the door and she smiled immediately. He said, I knew from that hour she'd get better. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You see, the Lord knows how to make his dear people submissive. Oh, he does. And like he did that dear man. And we have here, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, I don't know why the Lord's given it to me to bring to you. There may be one here that is rebellious. I've told you maybe before that when I worked at Chart Sutton. I was walking up through a hop garden and the things of providence all seemed against me. Everything seemed full of adversity and I was in so much darkness in my soul and the devil was attacking me. And I walked up through that hop garden ever so rebellious. And I say it to my shame. But you know, the Lord knew how to knock it out of me. And he did it by saying this. As I walked in that alley in that hot garden, he whispered this to me, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, and when he whispered that, it just melted me. My promise I'll fulfill. And you know, it swept away all that rebelliousness. And the Lord can do it today. The hymn writer said, Lord, teach me to resign. But I must hasten. Much could be said on this first part. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And sometimes, you know, the Lord will give you a word to make you submissive. I remember going into Canterbury Hospital, and it reminded me, as we read in Peter this evening, to see the late Mrs. Ruth Lockie. And she had to have a very major operation for cancer. And we walked in there, you know, to see her. And she was in the depths. And she said to me, you know, the savour of Christ in that ward I should never forget. He was with her. And she said to me, she said, you know, the Lord's spoken a beautiful word to me. And we read it in the lesson this evening. And it's this. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. She said, you know I've got to suffer a while, but you think, she said, of this, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, after that ye have suffered a while, and then the blessing, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Beautiful words, aren't they? And you know, she was full of the love of Christ, resigned to the Lord's will, where the Lord wonderfully brought her through that operation and took her back home. And she said to me, you know, I shall never forget that stay in that hospital in Canterbury, how the Lord blessed her there. But she had to come into that suffering to know the blessing. You see, the Lord, as we read in the book of Job, will balance the clouds that his dear people have to walk through. On one side, there's all the darkness of the clouds, the sorrow, the distress in them. But on the other side, the wonderful balancing, like that beautiful promise. And it may be the Lord will give you a word to venture with. When I was exercised about joining the church in 1963, I shall never forget the Sunday I felt, Lord, I cannot carry this exercise any longer. Either take it all away, or bring it to fruition. And I went up looking for the Lord's servant to preach on a word right in what I was in. Do you come up looking for a word from the Lord right what you're in? And I said, Lord, thou knowest. And the servant of God preached from these words, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there was added unto the church 3,000 souls. Gladly received his word, and you know, my soul leapt within me. It gladly received it. I knew what I got to do, you see. Is your prayer this evening, show me what I have to do, and every hour my strength renew? So, thinking back on that word I quoted just now, of what Paul wrote to the Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. And then listen, for he has said. And what he has said, poor soul, will never return void. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You'll be a happier soul in not only Maidstone Chapel, but in Maidstone Town, or even in England, if the Lord were to say that to you, wouldn't you? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And you can venture on that, can't you? And venture wholly. It's a beautiful couplet in those hymns, isn't it? Venture on him. Venture wholly. Put all your trust in him. And he will never fail you, poor soul. But just a brief word and I must leave it, because the time's gone. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Now, if you've got a real religion, poor soul, the devil will do all he can to try and take it away and destroy it. You'll need grace to resist him. And that's why we read in dear Peter's epistle those beautiful words, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it to us here this evening. He says this, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then listen, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And then this word, whom resist. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Whom resist? And we need much grace to resist the devil. But poor soul, to the tried sinner tonight that may say, well, I want to be submissive to the Lord's will. I want to follow him. I want to venture while there's room. But we got a devil that plagues us and tempts us and tries us. As the Lord gives you grace, you resist him. You cannot yourself, but under God's grace you can. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is what the Lord has promised. It's not my word. Resist the devil. As he gives you grace, resist him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus said, didn't he? He and he will flee from thee. Because if the Lord's with you, poor soul, he will flee. Because the Lord have put him down. He is a chain foe. He can only go so far. But he won't destroy the child of God. That's what he's out to try and do, and destroy God's work in them. But it's a proof, if you know the bitter onslaughts of Satan, that you've got a real religion. Because the professor of religion, the world, the ungodly, know nothing of the onslaughts of Satan. Because really, they're good agents of his. Well, I've scratched around the surface. I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. May we lay it to heart this evening. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. and the Lord will give you all the help you need to resist him, all the grace, and he will have all the praise.
Friends, this morning a word was laid upon me. It's in Acts chapter 10. And I knew I had to bring a hymn on it. And I thought, or I was told by the devil, I was a fool. The word was, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so the last verse of our last hymn was what took me to it. And I thought, I knew not what the Lord's servant would bring tonight. And I thought I'd be laughed at. But I had to bring it twice today. I've turned aside to ask the Lord to give me another hymn. The Lord closed the hymn book up. There was nothing in it except for this hymn. So we try and sing. Hymn 651, hymn 651, tune Rosso 687. I'll just read the last verse, we sing the hymn. As an emblem of thy passion, we with thee would be baptized, and to show thy great salvation, from the liquid grave we rise. May we never, never dare thy ways despise. Hymn 651, tune Rosso 687.
Thank you.
do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own precious word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And oh, do grant, Lord, there might be that real fruit from thy holy precious word. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forever. More. Amen.